Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. Or sorry, good evening. It is 7 o'clock here on the East Coast, well, in Ohio. So Eastern time zone, how about that? I am Tiffany with Redneckanize Radio, and we are live tonight with basically, hey, the women of Redneckanize Radio. So if you are wanting to be part of the conversation or want to be live on the radio with me tonight, dial 515-602-9731. And hit that option one to be live and personable with us here on the radio. We are live on Facebook, so if you can't call us in because you don't have enough service or whatever the case may be, look us up on our Facebook Live on Redneckanize. I just want to catch up a little bit with this week of everything that's been going on. On Sunday night's show, Greg and I actually did it live here at the house. We actually, we didn't do no live Facebook, but we did do the radio show, and it was a really good one. We had a lot of interaction with callers, and we also talked about fuel prices and the speed limiters. You know, what is with these people still thinking they need to give and put all of the trucks under a certain speed? The drivers know. I mean, granted, yes, some drivers do need that extra, you know, how do I want to put this and be nice about it? That extra, you know, company control or, you know, owner control. Because like we talked about a few weeks ago on the show about the driver down on 75 outside of Cincinnati that unfortunately died in the crash where he rear-ended or kind of didn't completely rear-end a dry van. He was hauling coils, but he kind of clipped the left-hand side because, you know, what they said was the driver of the dry van slowed down for some unknown reason. It was right by the rest area. He could have been wanting to get over real quick and couldn't do it. And the other driver was driving too fast for the conditions. It wasn't paying enough attention. So sometimes speed limiters might be a good thing. Other times I'm going to totally say no, only for one reason, is because why do we have to have somebody tell us how we can and can't drive our trucks? We're all adults. We all know how to do it. We know how to properly do it. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Why? Why must you tell us how to do it? We are capable of doing it ourselves. So I just want to take a brief minute here just to talk about our sponsors a little bit. Now, I'm hoping tonight I have spoke with one of our sponsors, and she has been a longtime sponsor of Redneckanize, and that is Ms. Hattie Jane Rollins out of Stratford, Connecticut, with DPF Regeneration. And they do a multiple different types of things that they work on when it comes to the trucks. I pulled up the paperwork, so, you know, because I kept forgetting everything that she told me years ago about everything they do. But they do the catalysts, and they specialize in diesel filters, DOC catalysts, SRC units, EGR coolers, catalyst mufflers, and that goes for any type of truck, basically, for sprinters, Dodge Ram 2500, 3500, Ford, Duramax, DPF, Chevy, DPF, Donaldson, Mercedes. I'm not going to go on and on because hopefully we have her on tonight, because me and Miss Hattie talked a little bit briefly, you know, via messenger about her maybe possibly coming on tonight. So we are actually hoping that does happen, that she can come on and talk with us. But that is DPF Regeneration out of Stratford, Connecticut. And you can look them up at WeBakeEm.com, or you can give her a call. Her toll-free number is 800-634-3010. And if you guys can't get a hold of her, just send her a message. You know, she does have an email, and Hattie's pretty good about if you do call that she will call you back. So I wanted to talk about her a little bit first, get off, because I know on Sunday's show we got pretty busy with all of our conversations that was going on, and we didn't get to talk about our sponsors as much as we usually like. So we wanted to reach out. I definitely wanted to hit that first with one of our sponsors. So I got that one covered. So I'm actually going to go to the phones right off the bat because I do have a caller waiting, and she has actually been waiting since before I even got the show up and running. This is how dedicated Miss Cheryl is when it comes to Redneck and Eyes. So here we go. We're going to bring Cheryl on, and we're going to talk a little bit. Okay, maybe if I get the buttons to work. There we go. How you doing, Cheryl? Miss Cheryl, can you hear me? Okay, we may have lost her. I'm not sure. I'm hoping my mic and everything's working. My volume's up. I don't have it muted. So, okay, if you guys can hear me out there, just let me know because I want to make sure everybody can hear me. And I do have one more caller we're going to bring on because Ms. Cheryl might be having a problem. I'm not sure. But if she is, she is ready to come on whenever she is ready. Okay, let me see here. There we go. I'm going to get my live video up so I could see it on the other side here. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, is this Miss Hattie?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing fine, Tiffany. Finally, we got a chance to chit-chat. My husband and I are out having dinner. But I told him this was important. I wanted to chit-chat with you and see how everything is going.
Well, we are so happy you were able to come on with us tonight for a little bit. You know, we never want to take away from family time because that's what we are all about, too, is, you know, getting time with your family. And, you know, with him used to being out and gone and traveling as much as he used to, you know, time is precious anymore. You never know what can happen from day to day. So I always want to see everybody hanging out with family as much as they can.
Definitely. But whatever you have or whatever questions, you know, we can definitely, we're here for all the drivers. We're also promoting and we're doing a new run on the diesel, the one box unit for all of the truck drivers. We know that the OEMs have a lot of them on back order right now, and they're telling a lot of the drivers anywhere from 2 to 6 months. So we're actually cleaning, you know, refurbishing the whole units right now, anywhere between 3 to 5 days at less than a third of the cost of buying OEM new.
That is awesome. I know my dad's semi, he's actually, his motor went in it, which my dad kind of turns the juice to it a little too much sometimes. And he actually had to rebuild the whole motor, and he's been waiting almost a month to get parts for it. So we definitely know how it is, and you being able to turn them around so much quicker is awesome.
Do me a favor. If anybody out there needs any kind of parts and they're having a hard time getting them, send them to my email, HattieJane@dpfregeneration.com, if we can do that. I've been searching out radiators for customers, new DPF, used aftermarket DPF, the one box unit sensors. Because I know the supply chain is holding everything up on everybody, but I have a lot of contacts throughout the United States. I can get them turbos, injectors, anything they need. Have them just reach out to me.
Oh, most definitely will. I know Greg has been talking about putting a 14-liter turbo on our truck. So, you know, we may reach out to you to see about, you know, cost and availability of one.
We can definitely do that. I have a lot of manufacturers that are giving me supplies because they know that I do nationwide, and they know I work with truckers. So, you know, they have stuff put aside for whatever we need to do.
Right. Now, Hattie, tell me one thing. How long have you been in business, and what got you started in this industry doing this?
We started the business January 11, 2008. Actually, I met my husband. We worked together. He had his own machine shop, and I worked in the office. He used to do Allison transmission parts. So when that started dying down, what happened was we seen New York City actually asked him about doing DPF filters for them. And they sent him to school to train on it. And I told him, well, the transmission part was slowing down. Let's switch over to doing that. And he actually built all the equipment in the shop to get the company up and running for me.
Wow.
Yeah, and we work together day by day.
Well, when
we've been together 34 years, Tiffany.
When you can actually work and live with the same person and work with them, you know, 24 hours a day, no matter what, that is a good relationship. I know Greg and I, we were in the truck together for a while, and we did well, but you know what? It is nice to, you know, have that separation once in a while. He was home. He actually went back to work this past Monday, and he'd been home since the end of February. So don't get me wrong. It was nice him being home because we got a lot of stuff accomplished, but it is nice that he's back out on the road again. And I think, you know, he would probably agree because now he can get away and just kind of relax and doesn't have all kinds of stuff to do on the to-do list. So it does make it a little bit nicer.
Yeah. You don't have a honey-do list for him.
Yes. Now, when he gets home, there might be a little one, but, you know, that's all right. It won't be near as big as the one he started out with.
Yeah, we've been together. I mean, it's like we worked together. We were actually lived together for 15 years before we actually got married. So
Greg and I got you beat there. We were together 17 before we got married, so.
Okay, so we're not the only one that does that nowadays.
Nope.
But yeah,
that's the only way to make sure it's going to last forever.
That's it. We're compatible, you know. We
yep.
work together on making business decisions, whatever it's got to be to make the business go. And, you know, I handle the office end, and he handles all of the technical and the shop end of it.
Well, that's what Greg and I say. I'm the paperwork person, and he's the maintenance department.
There you go. Same thing.
And it works good for us, so.
Yes, definitely. But, when, like I said, if you want to do the video feed, talk with Trucker G because I know him and his wife do that all the time. I met them about 8 weeks ago in where was it, Maryland or whatever. They were doing
right.
the people run. Yeah,
yes.
For all the trucks. We went down, Wayne and I went down there, and we met Taylor, finally, Barker, and Trucker G.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you were able to reach out and actually physically meet with them. It is nice when you get to see them face-to-face for the first time. So one day we will be able to do the same thing because, you know.
Definitely.
We're working on it. But I did want to let you know a little bit. Us here at Redneck and I, we're actually planning our very first in our, you know, it's a big planning process, truck show of our own. It's going to be in our
Your own truck show. Okay.
Our own truck show, yes. And we have actually going to be doing it at a local fairground. So we'll be reaching out to you to get you guys to come down and maybe set up a little booth and talk about your business.
That would be awesome. Where would that be located, Tiffany?
It would be in Canfield, Ohio, which is just basically right off of the – I'm sorry?
Ohio's not too far of a drive. That would be perfect.
Yes, it would be. That's kind of what I figured. Maybe we can get you down because a lot of the guys that you have talked to are, you know, like Taylor, and even we're going to reach out to Tony and get Tony up here too, you know, to do little things and, you know, so, but we're going to have, we're talking, I'm sorry?
I said that would be really nice to meet that finally. Like I said, we met Taylor, but we haven't had the opportunity to meet Tony and Misty personally yet. I know this weekend they're all up in Kodak, Tennessee.
Yes.
So.
And I've actually been following with some of the stuff they're doing with their truck show because what they're doing is kind of what we've been throwing around and tossing around as a group and with some other people in the area to do for ours too. So it's kind of, you know, all of us drivers all have the same things, you know, in mind when it comes to doing stuff for drivers. So that's why we're going to actually start putting together our own. So it's going to be more open to, we want to have a lot of community in because Canfield's it's a smaller town, but it's close to Youngstown and literally just off, not far from the turnpike or 80 that comes across, you know.
80, okay. My husband would know that route. Yeah,
where it's going to be located at is going to be perfect because it's not far from a lot of the truck stops around Hubbard and Girard area in Ohio.
Okay.
So we're really looking forward to it. So it's actually going to be, we're planning it for July of 2024 because I don't want to try doing everything within a year because I just don't feel that I could get it all pulled together and get everything the way that we would all want it to be.
You'd be putting too much pressure on yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good
idea. And I want to just get everything tied down and ready to go. So
I will definitely be contacting you more so we can talk a little bit more about it. And
definitely.
You know.
You have been call me about that. Definitely.
Oh, I will.
All right. I'm going to let you pull some other people in to talk, if that's okay. I'm going to have dinner with my hubby now.
You have dinner with your hubby, and we will definitely be in touch. And so thank you for jumping on tonight. I appreciate it.
It was nice to talk with you, Tiffany.
You too, Hattie. And you guys have a great night.
You too. God bless.
All right. God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Ms. Hattie Jane Rollins with DPF Regeneration. So if you guys need anything truck-wise, reach out to her at Hattie@DPFRegeneration.com. And if you didn't get that, just message me on Facebook, or if you have my phone number, give me a call or text me, and I will give you all the information about DPF Regeneration that you can reach out and talk to Hattie about it. Because like she said, she can get some parts and stuff like that. So that's great. She can do quick turnarounds on any type of your equipment that you might need. So, hey, let's keep it small and intimate with the smaller companies, because Hattie is a small thing. You heard where she said that she, you know, her and her husband started it years ago. But I know when I've talked to her in the past, it was a small company. You know, it was a woman-run business. Nothing against the guys that run their businesses. Don't get me wrong there. But it's a woman-run and family-oriented type business. So, you know, from what she's told me before, it's not a very big facility where she's located, but she is in Stratford, Connecticut. And again, her toll-free number is 800-634-3010. And if you want to be part of our show tonight, dial 515-602-9731 and hit option 1 to be part of the conversation. Now, I will post all of Hattie's information on our Facebook page after the show today. And that way you guys can reach out to her if you have any questions about your DPF filters or your systems. I don't know a lot about them because, of course, you all, as most of you all know, our truck does not have the regen stuff on it. So, but she can take care of your charge air coolers, you know, like she said, radiators. So, you know, with a 5-day turnaround, that's great. You know, if you have something that needs, like your charge air cooler, it needs to be fixed, send it to her. She can fix it, send it back to you. So, which leads us into, let me put my paperwork, I'm knocking things. And I know if you guys are watching my Facebook, you see me doing this. I'm just knocking things all over the place. So, I know Cheryl was on hold and she had to go to do something else. So when she comes back, she's going to touch base with us again. So I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit. You know, like I said, we talked a little bit on Sunday about the speed limiters. So some of you guys were on, some of you weren't. But what I'd like to know is, what do you guys think about them? Do you guys have any, you know, ideas? Are you okay with them? Do you not like them? What is your opinion? I'm sorry. I know. Greg's probably listening thinking, what in the heck are you doing? Why are you stuttering and, you know, taking too long to get in between conversations? But I'm actually pulling up because I actually forgot to do it, because I seem to always forget to do it just before the show. Don't know why. I had it pulled up earlier and I ended up closing it out. Some topics I wanted to talk about a little bit tonight. So let me get these pulled up and we will discuss them. Okay. So I have to. I will pull them up on my other computer. Oh, there we go. So let's see. Here we go. I know. So what is everybody's location at tonight? Where are you guys all at? What are you doing? I'd like to hear from you guys. Okay. There we go. I seem to pull up the wrong email. I seem to always do that. Don't know why. And this one wants to give me all kinds of trouble too. What is with emails lately? I swear every one of my emails is giving me all kinds of and I have multiple emails, you know, because of the Redneck and I's, and then my personal email, and it seems like I have something going to every one of them, and sometimes it's like crazy because I can never get anything to go exactly where I want it to go, so it kind of goes everywhere. Okay, let's see. Let's try this. I don't know. It might work. It might not work. We'll see. Okay. I never thought while I was doing this and looking this up, I could be playing us some music. What do you guys think? I know. No music, right? Okay. Here is... Okay. Now, like we said on Sunday, we talked about the speed limiters and, you know, they have the FMCSA. Let me see if I can get this actual article to come up so I can kind of scan it. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to kind of scan and see if there's anything that's been changed or anything else they've talked about since the last time we talked about it, which more than likely they haven't because they do have the rulemaking period opens. It will be open for 30 days. And that is actually, it says the Federal Carrier Motor Carrier Safety, the FMCSA noticed of intent to proceed with rulemaking and mandate speed limiters on most heavy-duty trucks is being published in the Federal Registry Wednesday today. The publication of that agency is calling an advance notice of supplemental proposed rulemaking opens the comment period for 30 days. So basically, they're going to have 30 days to go over and try figuring out if they want to do this. They are the National Highway Traffic Safety. I'm just going to read you bits and pieces out of this. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration explored potentially limiting trucks to either 60, 65, or 68 miles per hour. Like, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. Do you guys really want to run your trucks at 68 miles an hour? So that's like kind of crazy. Why would you guys even think about, why would anybody want to do that? Because speed limits are what in most states? The majority of states, it is 70. You know, so what are these people thinking? You know, they actually need to be out here in the truck because most of these people have never been in a truck before. So that's crazy. I'm sorry. Oh, my Lord, I just found something. Okay, let me see. Cheryl, if you're listening, I'll get to you in just a minute. She just sent me a message and said she is ready to come on. So I want to pull this up because I just want to say something about this. It's like crazy. This was the Overdrive staff. So this is off of Overdrive that I'm pulling this from right now. And it says the People's Convoy, which most of us all know who the People's Convoy is. Members sued DC for alleged free speech violation. This is the first I'm hearing of this. Has anybody else heard about this? If you have, tell me about it. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to go over this real quick. It says members of the People's Convoy, which spent a number of weeks in Washington in March in efforts to end COVID-related mandates and the national emergency declaration around COVID, the latter still in effect, are suing the District of Columbia for allegedly violating the First Amendment's rights of the participants filing the lawsuit. There are 16 plaintiffs in the suit against D.C. Court documents state that 13 individuals plan to drive to D.C. with the intent of lawfully exercising their First Amendment rights to protest in protest of the current administration's continued state of emergency declaration and COVID-19 related policies. They, meaning, you know, People's Convoy, also wanted to honor the 13 service members who lost their lives in Afghanistan on August 26th of 2021. We all know who they were and why they lost their lives. Okay, the lawsuit says the drivers gathered in Hagerstown, Maryland at the Speedway and traveled together in 13 trucks for 13 fallen soldiers to D.C., only to discover that the District of Columbia Metropolitan Police Department had formed blockades at the points of the entry into the district. We've seen this on Facebook.
We talked to some of the drivers, you know, about this and what was going on. It was crazy what they were doing.
Okay, this lawsuit claims that the blockades were solely to prevent the drivers from entering the Capitol to exercise free speech, a violation of the First Amendment rights, they claim. The lawsuit adds that the MPD, which is the Metropolitan Police Department, actions also allegedly resulted in two fatalities when a motor vehicle crashed into the blockades. Wow, how safe were they after all? Court documents detail several different attempts by the convoy using different routes from Hagerstown to enter D.C. that were unsuccessful due to the MPD's blockades. The lawsuit also claims D.C. violated the plaintiff's rights to due process and equal protection under the 5th and 14th Amendments of the Constitution. In the lawsuit, the plaintiffs asked the D.C.'s blockade policy be ruled unconstitutional and for declaratory relief in the form of an order declaring that D.C. violated the 1st, 5th, and 14th Amendments by enforcing its blockade policy. The lawsuit also asks that drivers be allowed to enter D.C. to lawfully engage in their First Amendment rights and for an injunction preventing MPD from interfering with those efforts. The group also asks for monetary relief in the form of compensatory and punitive damages, as well as an award of their costs and attorney fees. That is crazy. We all seen where they were putting them on there and blocking the roads, which, you know, that was just, I couldn't understand why they were doing it. Safety is what we heard, safety reasons. Did they think the drivers were going to go run their, you know, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 trucks into the Capitol? Really? That's their livelihood. Did they think, is that what they thought they were going to do? Is that what the administration in D.C. thought, that our drivers and our community of truckers would go and do something like that? Those are the things that I just don't understand, how they actually go and, you know, reason with it and think that's a good thing. How can they actually say, yeah, let's do this? Okay, I'm going to bring Cheryl on now. And Cheryl, what was your thoughts about the People's Convoy being blocked out of D.C.? Because you know a lot of the people that was there, too.
Firsthand information was, you know, that Brian and his staff and his committee, the guy, PD, the whole entire time, every ounce, they knew what was going on, and for whatever reason, somebody got a wild hair in this Columbia district to do that when they had already known what the routes were going to be and what they were going to do. They never once were going to go down inside the Capitol. They wasn't going to do that without permission. So, I'm sorry, the District of Columbia is wrong for what they did, because they have been in contact with them the entire time. They were even escorting them and everything. So, something happened. Somebody got the red ass or something on that PD and decided to do that, because apparently this hand didn't know what that hand was doing and didn't even know that was going to happen. It just happened.
Right. I mean, when we met with Brian and
Ohio?
Yeah, Dunner in Laurel City, Ohio. You know, they had everything planned out. Everything was planned. They got the approval from every place that they went to, you know, because of the fact they wanted to keep everything completely legal. So, you know, it's just crazy. That was the first time I've heard anything about a lawsuit. Now, I seen where Brian was on Facebook Live earlier.
Well, that's the first time I've heard of fatalities, too. I didn't know people died that day. I knew that there was some incidences, but I didn't know somebody actually died. But it wasn't a truck's fault, was it? A car was trying to get off or something and hit a barrier or what?
Yeah, it says that it was, let me pull that back up and I could scan over it. But yeah, it was something to do with one of the barriers. I'm trying to find it again.
So
yeah, I do
have
know that I did see
truck.
Media. Yeah, they were blaming the convoy for the the incidences.
Yeah, because it said that
it
was two fatalities. Yeah, when a motor vehicle crashed into the blockades. Well, yeah, they went to get off an exit. They probably swerved around somebody. Could have swerved and, you know, jumped off the shoulder. We know how some of the cars do. They get close to their exit and traffic slowed down. They jump off the shoulder, and next thing you know, they're going 60 down the shoulder. And all of a sudden, now there's a blockade there, and they can't get off the ramp. So,
right. And everybody can relate to them in the fast lane. And fast lane and come
and
over
diving
three
over.
Or four lanes to get off the exit. Like,
exactly. Yep. And it's bad because we all see it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we've all seen it. We all know they do it. So, you know, it's like, really? All you're doing is taking your life in your own hand. And if that trucker happens to hit you, the first thing you're going to do, if it's not you, if you do survive the wreck, the first thing you're going to do, or your family, is try suing the driver and the company that the driver drives for. But you were the one who did it.
Trust me. Been through it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a $1.5 million lawsuit from a woman that I'm telling you, it was funny. I was in St. Louis. I thought I blew a steer tire. What happened is she must have come off the ramp and came right into my truck, and I drug her. I didn't even see her. She was down on my passenger side. But they caught her in lies and all that stuff. And they just did everything professionally.
Yeah, and see, I had something, you know, sort of like that out on 70 right out the Indiana-Illinois line. I think that's where it was. Greg can correct me if I'm wrong because I can never remember exactly. But I was in the left lane because he was in front of me, and he radioed and said there was a slow car in the right lane. So he went out around it. Well, I got in the left-hand lane. Well, this little escort station wagon decided I must have been going too slow because now he got close to that car that was going slow. He dove in between me and the car that was going slow, not enough distance. And, of course, you know, I was in an international, so I couldn't see you out there. Well, I couldn't say I couldn't see. But he was in the blind spot. When he cut over, he hit the front of the truck. He went across the front, and I thought I blew a tire. I'm thinking, what in the heck? All this smoke rolling up over the hood. And I look out the driver's door as I'm trying to get back over to the right-hand lane because I thought I blew a tire. So the first thing I'm doing is turn signal, get off. He comes down the pass or down the driver's side, all the way down the truck, all the way down the trailer, and kicks out behind the trailer and hits. Now, the car did not need towed prior. Then he hits the embankment for the bridge and cuts the airbag off. And he said, I think how they put it was that the driver of the car said, I changed lanes and hit him. And there was people that came up afterwards, and, you know, a guy came up and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I was shook up. You know, the bad thing was, Cheryl, this is the funny part. The truck only had less than 500 miles on it. It was a brand new truck. Literally brand new.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes. It didn't do that much damage. I mean, I got pictures. I actually ran across them not too long ago. You know, it didn't, I still drove the truck. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Dung up the fender,
I had a similar situation right there in your hometown of Ohio, right there at the cluster F of 70, 71, 640, all that beautiful construction. It was late one night. Yeah, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and it was bumper to bumper. I don't know if y'all had a game or something. But I was stuck trying to get down on 640 to get on 71 North, and I had this car come up through the construction barrels, take out the side of my 2020 truck, took out all my steps and everything, flipped the car. The car came back down on all four tires. He got over on 70 as I was trying to turn, hit and run. That little sumbitch took off running. I don't even know how he left the car after seeing it. I was like, you're kidding me.
Right?
And guess who got stuck with the bill? Me. I got stuck with the bill.
Well, Greg and I were going this has been many years ago, going up, we were on, going up into Pittsburgh at Green Tree Hill. And I mean, it's just before you get to the tunnels, and it is always busy there. I don't care what time of the day, but we're up there and creeping through traffic, and he's in front of me again. I think we were going to Turtle Creek up there delivering coils. No. Anyways, no, that wasn't Turtle Creek, but needless to say, I had this doctor in a Jaguar, mind you. I was in a Kenworth. This doctor jumped off because he thought he was getting off the wrong exit. He needed back on 30 and that to the 376, it's considered now. But jumped back on and drove literally, and it was wide enough. If he would have just been, you know, decent about it, I would have let him in. But he comes flying up beside me and goes to dive in between Greg and I and creeping along like in third gear maybe, just, you know, maybe 15 miles an hour, and hits the side of the truck and with the car. And it just looks from the front bumper or the front fender on his car on the driver's side, it was like a can opener, just cut it open all the way down to the door from the lug nuts on the steer tire.
Goodness.
And he tried telling me, I wanted to kill him. I jumped out of the truck and Greg grabbed hold of me and told me to shut up. I wanted to kill this guy.
Don't you hate that when they make us shut up? I hate that.
Yeah, the bad thing is I probably would have been in jail.
This. Hold my beer. I know.
But, you know, and what was even worse is this guy, like I said, he was a doctor. He had just moved to the area, you know, 6 or 7 months prior and never changed his license. And the cops, because Ohio or PA is a no-fault state. You have to take care of your own stuff, period. Because, you know.
Right.
PA is just weird. So with that being said, he had to take care of his. Well, his insurance company tried suing the trucking company that we drove for, tried suing them to fix his car. So, you know, it turned out they didn't have to fix nothing, didn't have to pay nothing because of the fact the cop even stated that it was the driver in the car's fault. So it was nice. We didn't get no, I didn't get no ticket out of it or nothing because it wasn't my fault. I mean, how fast did I have to go, you know? No. It was like, how crazy are these people? But they, hey, me, first.
Oh, yeah. You know, and shit, it ain't every day somebody whips around you and slams on brakes. I don't know how many times during the day that I see my life flash before me because I'm one of those ones, man, I am not, you know, I say I'm going to run over you, but if I see kids or something in that back seat, I'm going to take my life first. You know, now if you're on your own and you're stupid enough to run out in front of me and slam on your brakes, you need to be stupid enough to learn how to die. Because I'm not stopping and wrecking me for you. Only reason would be for the kid. You know, and we need more education on trucks in the driving schools. I mean, I know there's been a bunch of people trying to work on that. But, you know, it's getting worse and worse and worse.
And then they want to put 18-year-olds in the truck.
Yeah, I got mixed emotions about that. You know, there are some 18-year-olds that are mature, but there's a lot that's not. And this is a lot of responsibility, of responsibility. And it's hard work. I don't give a shit who thinks that all we do is drive. This is hard work.
Yeah, because it's not just sitting behind, you know, as they always say, the steering wheel holder. All you do is sit behind the wheel and drive. No, it's it has to do a lot more
with
the
fact. We're in defense mode.
Exactly.
No, we stay in defense mode. We stay behind the seat stressed out over the four-wheelers because you think you know what they're going to do, and they'll do something completely different.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, we're like linebackers. We got to stay right. We always watching, you know, and that alone is so much mental stress on us.
Oh, yeah.
And now, you know, with the billboard saying, oh, it's a semi, call me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that stresses us out, too. You know, now I have never been paranoid driving my truck. I'm more paranoid about driving today than I ever have been. My whole career.
Right.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, it ain't four-wheelers that I'm terrified of. It's the new drivers.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a whole nother story. I won't even go there. But the speed limiter thing, you know, you said 60, 65, 68. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's a hell of a lot better than 62. But we got 3.5 million trucks on the
right.
road. Well, probably more. And you got every single semi going, you know, the same speed. We are more unsafe doing that. And then, of course, you got Taylor Swift. You got Swift and all these other little megas. They want to race at 1 mile an hour. This one could go 1 mile. I hate that. You're going to have 350 million fucking trucks on the highway trying to get around each other. It's going to, we are going to create the traffic now. If you slow these trucks down, we are going to be the problem.
Exactly. Because now if you get one of them that thinks they're going to be able to pass another truck on a hill faster, and it's a two-lane hill, now you get them both side by side, and you're just screwed. And they get to the other side,
right.
It's going to be the same thing going down the hill.
We should throw up. Remember y'all said, you know, you remember back in the day we would leave Mississippi, we would have 30 trucks going to Salinas. I mean,
yeah.
We'd take over the interstate. We just had a convoy. But we were left lane convoy, but we were a convoy, and they stopped that and said it was against the law to be a cluster of trucks. Okay,
right.
Well, you just contradicted yourself because you're going to cut the nuts off of my truck, and we're going to be in a steady convoy.
Exactly.
You know, so damned if you do and damned if you don't.
That's exactly it. And they need to get more of these people from, you know, Congress and the FMCSA actually out there in the trucks and see the difference with all this, because they're not seeing it. They hear about it.
No.
And they're doing their statistics and there are people that's doing all the research. But you know what? Doing research, you can do research all day long and it's still not going to get you to the actual, you know, part of the stuff that you really need to know about. The heart
right.
of the problem, I guess I should say. You know, and they do all these little talks and stuff like that, but they get the same people in there doing the talks, the same people that's actually, you know, giving them their information. But those people still, they just go on what, you know, possibly what they have heard before or what, you know, they have been told. Well, you actually need to be
right.
out there on the road doing it, not, you know, they need people that's actually right now out on the road, not somebody that was out on the road 20 years ago or 30 years ago that's seen it when it was back then, and they say, oh, no, they don't need them to go that fast. There's no reason for it. There might not have been back, you know, 30 years ago, but now do you have way more vehicles, period, whether it be four-wheelers, cars, whatever, you know, or trucks and that on the road than what you did back then. The motors
right.
in a lot of the trucks weren't as good then as they are now.
Right. And two, with us all going the same speed limit, you know, we already on a ticking time bomb because we
yeah.
got 14 hours to do everything that we need to do. And parking is an issue. I mean, we got so many issues that, you know, everybody's just turning a blind eye to. And,
yeah.
You know, like the People's Convoy and the Real Women in Trucking and She Trucking and everybody's got a good fight, but we're not being heard. Yeah, okay, they talking to us, but nothing's being done. And we've been fighting, how long have we been fighting, Tiffany? Years.
Oh, yeah, and it'll keep
Same
going
fight.
On. It's never going to stop. Because
no.
they don't want, people in Washington and that take care of all these regulations, they don't want to hear. I mean, it was proven, just like with them with the convoy. Yes, they weren't there to protest, you know, these type of issues. But even when they go up there for 10-4 D.C. and they do everything the same way then, it's still the same aspect. They go up there and these people tell them exactly what they want to hear, and that's the end of it. You never hear nothing else. Because it gets just what they need to shut them up, meaning the drivers, they give them exactly what they want to hear just to shut them up long enough, say, okay, we got them quiet for now because they'll be good for a couple months. We won't have to listen to this anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, we had Ted Cruz down there, and, oh, it was a big party show. And I mean, I'm sorry to say it like that, but that's what the fuck it was. Because Ted Cruz is a very powerful man in Texas.
Right.
Why, you know, but there still wasn't done. There was a whole lot of smoke talking. But when he come down to the brass knuckles, he ain't done nothing either. He just got out there and did the dog and pony show. Look at me. That's what I saw. And I hate to be that way. And I hate to say it like that. But perception, you know, that's the perception we get. Because nothing happened. Nothing's happening. Nothing.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, Greg and I have talked about 100 times before. And it's the same thing, the same complaint that, you know, anybody that listens to any one of our shows, whether it's tonight or it's Sunday night or the other ones with Ed. And it's funny, everybody has the same complaint, you know, and it would take everybody, every driver in this country to actually put a halt to it. And stop everything, stop the trucks, just shut them off, say, you know what, we're done until something gets done.
They got us broke. We can't afford it.
You're right.
They got us right where they want us. They know what they're doing. There's an ultimate plan, and it started with COVID. But I'll leave my theories out. I'm going to leave that alone, but that's... It all started then. There's a master plan behind this. There's a method to their madness.
Greg would totally agree with you with that statement because of the fact that's the same thing he said. He said everything started opening up, everybody started feeling better, and all of a sudden now, just when the primaries start, you know, everybody start, COVID's ramped back up, and, you know, now they're doing this and they're doing that, and it's like, yeah, it is true. They have been. You know, they're trying anything they can to keep everybody locked down in one area or doing one thing, and it's just not right.
Right. And I'm sorry, hungry armies can't win a war.
That is
true. I mean, we can because there's a catch on that, too, because at the point where we're at, we ain't got nothing to lose. We all, and I don't care what profession you're in. I guarantee you every one of us is one paycheck from being destitute.
Oh,
and I make good money.
Exactly.
So, you know, the government's doing, this is all, they're keeping us like this and keeping us in fear because we got to feed our families. We got to take care of our responsibilities, you know? But on the other hand, you know, like the People's Convoy, I wished it would have been a lot more. You know, it just wasn't enough. We needed more. But people are broke.
Yeah.
And they're scared. And the government is forcing our hand and saying, okay, y'all shut them down. Y'all go ahead. We're going to call martial law. Well, the American people are scared. They don't want martial law because that means we're going to be locked up again.
Yeah.
So the government has us right where they want us.
Yeah.
And our American people aren't, I'm sorry, we're not as strong as we talk. We talk a good lie, but we ain't strong. There's other countries a lot stronger than we are. We are overspoilt. You know, we are too complacent in our lives, and we're struggling to survive.
Yeah.
And I'll let somebody else deal with it. Well, that's what everybody said. I'll just let everybody else deal with it.
Yep.
But, yeah, you're right. And it's going to come a point, but I don't see it happening. The world is going to revolve into what it is. And I'm a biblical person, and I'll just touch on it. The Bible's already called this. All this is a master plan. It's going to happen no matter how much we stomp and scream because it's already written, and I'll leave that
alone. Yeah. I totally agree with that. You know, I talked a few weeks ago about the trucker strikes back in the 30s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah,
you know.
I caught some. some of it, yeah.
And, you know, and they, you know, protested and they were, you know, striking because of fuel cost. And it went up, and my dad said, because my dad was involved in the one back in the 70s, but mm-hmm. and that's what got me talking about it, decided to talk about it that night. But with that being said, he said it went up, you know, like 50 cents in 3 or 4 months. And that was like, you know, back then, because it was like, I think it was like 10 or 15 cents a gallon, you know. And that was back, I think that was back in 73 when that went on. So it was like,
mm-hmm. And how
wow.
many times have we fought the same fight and still
exactly.
ain't got a damn thing for it?
And now it's up to,
that,
you know.
That shows you that it doesn't matter how hard we fight. Until
yep.
we change the laws in the District of Columbia and we put these politicians on terms and we rotate these politicians on a regular basis and we get the right people in there that have the right mindset, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. Because I'm sorry, Bill Clinton was one of the best Democrat presidents that I can remember. We all prospered under him. I don't have a party. I want the right person in that office, you know. And right now, the whole damn administration and Congress, they've been there way too long, and they've got their own agendas to pad their own pocket. And, you know, there's books all over the place that we are their sheep in their pawns, in the pad in their pockets. It ain't a mouth, American people.
No. No,
and
I totally agree with you there.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. We need to shut our government down. We the people. But that ain't going to happen because everybody's scared and everybody's broke. We starving. And the government's starving us. And you can't tell me the government don't have nothing to do with the shortages in these grocery stores. And they keep blaming on these truckers. We
yeah.
do not have a trucker shortage. We do not have a shortage. We don't have a
nope.
supply and demand chain problem. We have a government problem.
You know,
and it affects everybody, not just transportation.
Right. I was over at the store, what was it, last week or whenever it was. I had to get, you know, like laundry detergent and stuff like that. I was telling Greg, I said, you know, when I bought this, you know, because when I go, and Ed and Robbie could tell you, they tease me all the time because they say I have like a little mini Walmart downstairs in my basement. Because, you know, they always say, it's funny because Robbie is the first one that says, well, if anything breaks out in the country, I'm going to your house because I know there will always be food. So,
right.
Anyways.
Well, my grandma and papa taught us that from the beginning. You always stay stocked. Everyone's life is feast or famine. You're going to have good times and bad times.
Right.
And with me being a truck driver and my money is not consistent, you know, we've learned how to do the feast and famine, and you got to stock up. So when
right.
you have on hard times, you got toilet paper, you got shampoo, you got your basic needs. You buy while you got the money, and when you don't have the money, you're not without.
Exactly. You know, the most things I don't really stock up on, you know, is, you know, bread and milk and eggs because, you know, you just can't. But like I was saying,
right.
I like to get, because I like the Downy beads in the washer because it makes the clothes last forever, especially with blankets and bedding. But
yeah.
I priced them and it was like, used to be like $10 for a large one. It's like almost $15 now for one of the large ones. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Hey, girl. Remember when three-piece chicken tender and one biscuit used to cost $3.99? Chester?
Yeah.
That shit's $15 fucking dollars for 3 pieces of nugget. It's
That's
a crazy.
Yeah, and it's sad because everything, you know, and I never really noticed it, you know, about, because Greg and I would go out, we'd go over to town to, you know, the restaurants all the time here. Not like we have many to choose from, but we do have one that we all seem to really like. Now, I think it's mostly just because we like the Long Island iced teas better than we do the food. But, you know, when you go there, you got to eat before you drink, so... But it used to be, you know, for Greg and I to go over there.
I drink before I eat.
Well, we do that too, but you got to, you know, drink some because usually,
yeah.
you know, two Long Islands is like my limit. I drank three when Ed was in, you know, back in March. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, three is not good for me because I came home.
My max is three. That's about all I could do.
Well, three, I mean, no, three is way too much for me. It might not have been so bad if I didn't drink them so fast, but three is definitely, two is perfect for me. I feel okay after two. Greg would tell you I was totally drunk after two, but three, I was laying in the back seat of our car, and Ed drove home because Greg had three Long Islands, and, you know, Ed had two. And,
it don't,
you know,
affect him the same way.
No, because he's like, what, 6'6"? So... But he's from Texas, so, you know, alcohol's not the same for him. So we come home, and I'm directing. I'm laying down on my back seat of my car, directing Ed how to drive home. And they're, and Greg and Ed are both sitting up there laughing at me. So, and this was either just before the truck show or maybe it was before the convoy that when we went down to Laurel City. But I get home, I get in, I unlock the door, make it up our flight of steps to go up to the living room, kitchen, and dining room, let the dogs out, go up to the other four steps, up to the our bedroom, where a bedroom's in the one bathroom is. I get my PJs all on and everything else. I go and let the dogs back in. By the time they got in from outside, looking at the enclosed trailer and everything, what was going on there, I was already in bed. They thought I passed out. And these two finally came in, and they're talking, and they both looking at me, and, you know, they say something, and all I did was, y'all are assholes. And I was out. But, I mean,
how are they assholes? They didn't make you drink that third one. Come on.
Oh, yes, they did. Ed ordered it, so I'm blaming it on Ed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. If he ordered it, it's his fucking fault.
Exactly. But, you know, but the price of everything, you know, I mean, just not just at the stores, but even I went over and got fast food for my dad and Greg and I here last weekend or the weekend before. And for three of us, I used to go over to Burger. I went to Burger King, just would get us our Whopper value meals. And where it used to be for three, you know, like 20-some dollars, it was like $28. I'm thinking, really? You know, because we hadn't bought any fast food, I mean, that much. Because we usually go, if Greg and I do go out to eat, we don't really do a lot of fast food. We might order pizza or something. But we'll go and sit down at one of the restaurants in town. But even,
well,
you know,
the way I look at it today, it's cheaper to go sit down in a restaurant and give a tip than it is to go to fast food.
Oh, yeah. Because now all those people want $15 an hour, you know, or more. And the quality of the food, you know, isn't any better than what it used to be. So why do we have to pay more for it and pay more just because the people who work there want more?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have to give a shout-out to my daughter. She's working on being a general manager at Burger King down in Alabama. And I tell you, they worked their asses off. So,
I believe it.
Unfortunately, $15 an hour is less than minimum wage today, realistically.
Yeah, I don't even know what minimum wage is anymore. I mean, it's sad because, you know, I don't really technically
It's supposed to be $10, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's went up to $10. Some places are still $9.75, you know. Shit, I remember when it was 75 cents an hour. Oh, huh. I just told my age. Shut the fuck up.
I was
going to
say, you're dating, you're dating yourself now, girl.
Hell, I remember going up. Remember, I don't know if y'all know, but back in the day, Daddy would come in on Friday, and he would throw a $50 bill. Okay, you kids go up to the corner store and buy my beer, my cartons of cigarettes, and this and this. And we'd go up to the pack stack store or fish bait store and come back. We'd have two cases of beer and two cartons of cigarettes walking down the road, taking them back to my daddy. You know, back then, cigarettes were 50 cents.
Right. Well, that's like, you know, Greg said something. When we were down West Virginia, and that's what they would do. You know, they would send a note with you to go to the store to get cigarettes for your parents because, you know, the parents, you know, everybody that lived in the area all knew each other. So, yeah, it was nothing for them to
do
that.
And we all had tabs. Everybody paid on Friday or every 2 weeks, whatever. Uh-huh. It was a trust thing. You don't do tabs today.
No.
You know, Yeah, they would just write it down in a book, and then, you know, on Fridays, Daddy would give me the money. I'd do that, you know, pay up the tab because, you know, the stores used to do that. You can't do that shit today.
No.
Nobody, they don't have, the people today don't seem to have the integrity and the honesty that they used to have.
Exactly.
You know, nah, today. It ain't about being responsible and reputable. This is about get me, get what I need.
You know, and it's sad because the way everything has changed over the years, you know, just in the time frame, you know, in the last 20 years, you know, heck, in the last 30 years alone, just in our area around here, watching things change. Because we're not a big, I mean, our town's not a big town. You know, we got a lot of idiots that live here. But just the difference in, you know, how things are taken care of. Because, you know, like I was telling Greg one time, I says, if you would have seen downtown Liverpool back when I was young, all the streets were one way, you know, and then it was like as soon as they started changing it, that was like, you know, that's when everything started going downhill. Businesses started closing. I mean, there's buildings down there that have been there for years, and they're talking about tearing some down, and then other people are buying them and turning them into restaurants or other businesses, which is great because it's bringing business back to town, you know, to, you know, the town. But the mayor in that down there is about an idiot. He was actually talking about wanting, he was getting, trying to get funding to put a, now mind you, we live right on the Ohio River. And he was talking about getting a bike trail put in from the wharf, which is, you know, to come from the wharf to Calcutta and to go from down in Liverpool to Calcutta, which is about 5 miles, 6 miles, maybe. It's all uphill. These people are not going to be riding no bike all the way uphill. No, not these people in Liverpool. You know, it's like, why would you waste X amount of dollars or get funding for something like that when you got streets down there and houses that are falling over a hillside just down our main road here up, you know, our road out from us, on down the hill when you go down through the S-Bends, there was houses that actually slid over the hill. I mean, it was on, you know, Dateline and everything, not Dateline, but on the nightly news about these roads that literally, you know, the hillside just gave away under these houses. You know, luckily they had already, you know, people had already moved out of them and got out of there because of it. But it's like, really? How can you not want to go and put money back into your town to fix your infrastructure already?
Because it doesn't fit. They don't put money in their pocket.
Yeah.
They got to do things to put money in their pocket. They got to invest in things that they're going to profit from.
Oh, yeah. And see, he already owns a couple businesses in town, the mayor. So it's like, why? You know, because now with owning those businesses, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad to see he's doing that. But he's closing our local courthouse. I mean, I know this doesn't have anything to do with trucking, but still. When our judge died, he actually lived right here, and right literally I could see his house from ours. When he passed away back, I think in January, February, he, you know, from complications of COVID, they said, at least is what was in the paper.
Well, of course they did.
Yeah. I know. But as soon as he passed, they started getting a judge, you know, a visiting judge. Well, now he's taken it to the county commissioners and to the Supreme Court or something, to get our local court down here in town closed because he says it puts too much strain on the city to keep that courthouse or that courtroom and everything up and running. Now, the courthouse has everything else for the city in it, like any other courthouse. You know, the city police is in the basement. But now they're saying it costs more to keep it up and running, to keep people staffed there. Now, all these people that work there wound up losing their job as soon as they transfer the court out to Lisbon, which is like 8 or 10 miles from here. So all these people that get citations, anything in this area, you know, East Liverpool, Calcutta, you know, Liverpool Township, just in this general area, is now going to have to find rides to Lisbon because a lot of these people around here, they don't drive. And now every time a police officer has to go to be in court,
that's taking one of our very few police officers and making them go out there for the day and be out there all day for court. It's like, how is that better? Because now you have more wear and tear on the vehicles when that cop can walk up two flights of stairs to be in the courtroom.
Right.
I mean, he didn't even put it to a vote for the city or nothing. He just decided this is what we're doing because he was saying the court was losing way too much money. And it's like, I don't
well,
see it.
Well, see, and that's my problem because all these people, even in the state levels, town levels, we are their bosses. They have forgotten that.
Exactly.
They're making the rules and not, we should have voting procedure. They should be asking your community what they think is the right thing to do. Don't take it upon yourself. Who voted you in to take it upon yourself to do things without our permission?
Yeah, and that's exactly what people have said. Why is it that you can do this and you can do that, but, you know, you didn't ask. Mm-hmm. They didn't put it to a vote or nothing. Before it ever came out, he had already petitioned to have the courthouse closed. And it's like, really?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's been a mess, and everybody's been complaining about it. But, you know, they complain, and nothing
it's going on in every state. There's every state got these politicians in it that are connected to D.C., and I'm telling you, it's just all a big Ponzi scheme for investments and money and pockets, and because they're staying in office too long. They got comfortable, and they don't have to listen to the people that voted for them. I'm the master now. I'm the puppet master. No, you're not. But this new generation, and it just, they ain't nothing going to happen.
Yeah. And it's sad because, you know, there's so many people that can actually fight for it and, you know, take care of the issues, but nobody wants to do anything about it.
Right.
We'll let this one do it. We'll let that one do it. They'll take care of it. We won't have to worry about it. And it's like, no, nobody's going to take care of it. You know, unless you do it yourself, it's not going to get done. And, you know, that brings us back to the, you know, the convoy. What they started out to do was great. And, you know, I sure hope that because now they're trying to take it to the state level for every state, take it to your, you know, capital.
Yeah.
But I would love to see things happen and love to see things, you know, get accomplished. But what they're fighting for now, you know, a lot of the COVID restrictions have all been lifted, you know, and the mandates for the COVID, a lot of that's been done. Yeah. I mean, there might be some places, I mean, doctor's office, they still tell you have to wear a mask. Okay, whatever.
Well, and that's like, okay. I don't have a problem going to a doctor's office doing that, you know.
Right. And it's like, okay, you know, we can deal with that. Now, I don't know what they're still pushing for all the different state capitals are, you know, what they've come up with, you know, their reasoning to be at all these ones because they haven't really said.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why you don't have no participation because we don't know what the fuck's going on.
Exactly.
You're not publicizing this shit.
Yeah, when everything. Yeah, they're just not telling as much as they used to. And it's kind of bad. You wish they would tell more, but.
Well, they would probably get more participation if all the books were open and we could see what the hell is going on. I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm not trustworthy like that anymore.
You keep secrets. Yeah. Well, I mean, granted, they did go about doing some of their things the right way by getting attorneys to take care of a lot of the stuff. But still, you know, if somebody asks, you know, well, we're donating, you know, X amount of dollars, we want to see what it's being used for and where it's going. You know, more than likely, if people would ask them for that type of stuff, maybe they would. But can't guarantee that.
Well, but we shouldn't have to ask. It should be open on your website. It says financial statement. We should be able to go to the bottom, push that financial statement, and open it up. And see where every last penny is going that the American people are donating to this cause. But it's not there, and they haven't done that. We shouldn't have to ask. The nonprofit organizations, none you included, I guarantee you, you got your financial statement available. I don't have to say, hey, Tiffany, I need your financing. No, you should have it down here, and I open it up and look. That builds trust.
Right.
Because you've got nothing to hide.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if you've seen more interaction with the people because, you know, a lot of people, when it first started, the convoy first started, everybody was gung-ho with it. And now it's like everybody's like, well, all they did was drive from one side of the country to the other and back again. And nothing. And now they're on
their there.
Yeah. And now the way I see it on another site, that they're on their way back to D.C. again. It's like, okay, what are you going to get accomplished
and
now?
Who is funding this? How are you affording to be off of work that damn long? Because
that's the same thing we've asked.
Some of these folks, I know these people, and I ain't got to name them. You ain't rich. You ain't got no more fucking money than I got.
Right.
How the fuck are you affording to be off of work that long? Yeah. Who is the pockets?
Yeah,
who's
and truck
payments.
Because you know as
well
as I do, some of those people.
A lot of those guys, their trucks are paid for, and they're
right.
You know, but a lot of their trucks aren't paid for.
Right.
You know, and a lot of them are in retirement mode, and they've made their money so they can afford to spend it on this. But I'm sorry, I just. You know, I want my piece of land, and I want to build my house and stuff. I don't want to give it away like that anymore because it's not done me no good. I could give you a calculation of the thousands and thousands of dollars I've spent going to these protests and missing paychecks for 3 or 4 weeks and truck payments. It don't hurt nobody but me.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody listening to us.
Oh yeah.
The closest we got to really fixing to be heard and something really fixing to happen, I'm fixing to say it. We had Trump in our pocket. He really was there. You know, and then bam, COVID happened. Well,
yep.
That fucking went out the drain. Just like when we was doing 2017, there was an ambush in fucking Las Vegas. Well, goddamn. That took it away from us, too. So every time we do something, something major happens that distracts them from what the truckers are trying to do for the American people. Can't tell me it ain't set up. It's all too coincidental.
Right. And that's what we said when they first started all of this, started the convoy. You know, that's the same time frame as the war in
the
Ukraine.
War going, yeah. But
you know,
if you think about it, we, you know, Canada started it and we were working on it. Of course, I think we should have not planned. I think we should have just not told anybody and just done it, but that's me. We waited too long. Well, I think we waited too long. We passed
the
window. Yeah, so we were in the planning. And then all of a sudden, we got this going on in the war and soldiers being killed. Another distraction.
Yep, because it was, I mean, look at Canada with the convoy when it started. They had every news media, every news channel was talking about it, you know, about what was going on there. And that's the same thing Greg and I said.
Everybody was talking about the people's convoy at first, you know, and the American people were coming out. I've never seen anything like it. I was really hopeful. I was really hopeful. But there just wasn't enough American people. And I can't fault them because, like my daughter said, Mama, I want to participate. I want to stand behind y'all. I can't afford it. I have children.
Exactly. And you can understand that because she's thinking realistically. She's thinking about her kids and how to take care of them. You know, you wouldn't want her to go out there and stay out there as long as they have been, and now she's lost everything. Her kids are, you know, living in the back seat of her car and eating $15 three-piece, you know, chicken, non-chicken food.
Right.
But, you know.
But my thing is, who is supporting this? Somebody is supporting it. We the people, same as long term. We the people want to know. You want our trust. You want our support. But you're not talking to us. And I'm sorry, on a personal note, there was quite a few people that got shunned away from it because they didn't want them there. Because, you know, and they didn't want certain people there because we rowdy.
Yeah.
I'm not rowdy. I just got a big mouth. And I call it like it is.
And, you know, and that's probably exactly true. And it's sad to say that, you know, because there, I mean, don't get me wrong, just like down there at Laurel City, there was a lot of stuff going on and a lot of people there, but nobody knew what was going on to an aspect when it came to setting stuff up or how to do anything. And they had all these people that were supposed to be doing that and telling you what to do or where to go. And it's like nobody had any idea whatsoever. They literally had no clue of what to do. It's like, I don't know.
It was a good
idea, and I'm glad they, you know, did what they did because it got a little bit of people behind them and to stand up for them, you know. But you're right. How can you do that without showing?
That I do know that there were some key players in that did get supported through the whole thing, and, you know, I can't pinpoint it, and I'm not going to say, but there are a lot that didn't get what they said they were going to get. They lost their ass, and they had to tuck their tail and try to figure out how to get home.
Huh.
You know. And there was money made off that of People's Convoy. There is money being made.
Well, I know when we were just out in Lowell City, you know, and we didn't plan as well as we should have because we were trying to make it all just about the convoy, nothing else. We should have done a little bit better with our stuff, our signage and stuff like that, and actually had more lights because there was no lights in that because it wasn't done in an abandoned where a truck stop used to be. So there was no lights. But anyways, we had people come up to us as soon as they come up and talk to us and, you know, was getting food, and that was handing us money. One lady told me, she's like, here, this is for you guys. We were given money to give to people for gas and everything else. And I was like, well, we don't need this. I said, we just came out here to help do this. And they said, well, you had to pay for gas to get here somehow. And it was like, you know, you didn't want to take it because it wasn't to do with us, but they were going around anybody that was in vehicles that was part of it or trucks and handing out, you know.
And that was their blessing, and we shouldn't allow them. We shouldn't refuse their blessing. But with us, you know, donate it to the cause, but you do that, but then we don't know where it went.
Right.
Whose pocket did it go in?
Yeah. I mean,
I whoever's listening from that convoy, just go to your website and put your financial statement in your website so the American people and us can go look and see. And that's immediate trust right there. That will bring more people knowing that we trusted what was going on. Because right now, you ain't no different than the fucking government. Because you're keeping secrets, too.
Right.
You ain't no better.
Well, you know, I've heard them say, you know, if anybody wants to see where, you know, the stuff's going, they would show you. But, yeah, they should have it out there for anybody.
Right. Well, you know what? Business, if you know anything about running a business or an organization or a charity, that is transparency. Something else the truckers bitch about. You bitch about the brokers not being transparent. You aren't being transparent. We shouldn't have to ask you. It should be public record.
This is true. And it's
you
sad that they don't.
You can't fight something and turn around. You can't preach and teach something and turn around and be doing the same damn thing. Now, how smart does that look?
Exactly.
Lord, you get me fired up today.
Now, it wasn't
my
purpose
passion.
To do that.
I know. I just have a lot of passion for this industry, and I really fight hard in one form or fashion. I know right now I'm taking time for myself because that's what God says I need to do, and I've got some major things that probably will be happening for me, but I can't talk about it. Y'all just stay tuned because it will be revealed at least by July. Y'all will know what baby doll's up to, but right now I'm not putting the chicken before the egg, because every time I do that, somebody sabotages me. So you know what? I ain't
yep.
telling.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. You just keep it and just, you know, everybody be praying for you, and you'll get there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, y'all know I took that year off to try to get my health back, and I'm still playing catch-up. I'm almost caught up because I do make good money.
Well,
you know,
hey.
But the main thing is, you know, I'm unstable. I'm paying on my land. I've got to get me a place to live because, y'all, I'm telling you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You better learn how to have a garden, and you better learn how to stock for feast or famine because this is only fixing to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we're going to go back. We got to go back. We're going to go backwards.
We already have in the last couple of years.
We're already going backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see more tiny homes, and you see, but shit, tiny homes is a damn house. Before
yeah,
COVID,
sometimes
I'm going to do an example. Before COVID, you know, I got my issues. I'm not perfect. I was going to do a rent-to-own shed, 16x40, you know, and I could have got it wired out and the walls put up for less than $20,000. And as long as I stayed under $20,000, I could do the rent-to-own and have it paid off in 5 years.
Right.
Today, the same setup is $15,000 more.
I wouldn't believe it. That's how we have a, a 12x28 shed out here, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought it last year. We priced it the year before. You know, it's like, okay,
yeah.
It was, I think, like $9,000. It's like, all right, well, that's not too awful bad because our house has a red metal roof, and we wanted the shed to have the same thing. So there was one here in town, and we checked on it, and, you know, we kept going and checking on it. And then it was like, you know what,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to do it. So we went and, you know, put the down payment on it, you know, bought it, and then had to get the where we wanted it put at all ready to go. So
mm-hmm.
Greg and I worked on that for 3 or 4 days because they couldn't get it delivered to us right away, which is okay. So they called and they said, we can have it delivered this time. I was like, okay, can you do it this date instead? Oh, yeah, not a problem. But anyways, by the time we actually bought it, from the time I first looked at it, it went up like, you know, $2,500. So it was more, you know, less than 2 months from the time I looked at it before. Because I'm one of these ones, when I look at something like that, I take a picture of it, and then I took a picture of the price on it. And then when we went to actually purchase it, we looked at it, and I was like, look at the difference on this. And the guy's like, well, you know what? Price of materials went up. Well, this thing has only been sitting on your lot for almost a year, and you're telling me the price of the materials went up, so you got to charge more for this one that you didn't pay that price for when you got it and brought it in here. Because this company is like most all of them. They buy them, and then they resell them. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, no. You're trying to pull fast one, but
price gouging.
Oh, yeah.
Just like when we have these natural disasters, the community starts price gouging. Okay,
yep.
Everybody's got to go tell, so we're going to charge three times as much in the middle of a hurricane because we can.
Yeah. And it's another one of those things. You see it all the time. Every time there's any type of tragedy or anything that goes on, that's the first thing that happens. people start doubling their prices. And just like the toilet paper shortage of a couple years ago, oh, my God. If you wanted to buy toilet paper, you were going to pay $30 for a four-pack of toilet paper because they knew you needed it, and you would pay it because you needed it.
Yeah. You know, and somebody knew, somebody must have knew ahead of time and stocked up on that shit just to fucking resell it on the side of the road. Oh, we're helping you out. Bitch, you ain't helping nobody.
And, you know, and it's funny because you say that, and everybody would tease me because when I buy toilet paper or paper towels, I always buy it in the big packs, you know, whatever, however big they are. But anyways, that's how I've always bought it. So, you know, my grandmother said something. She's like, I had her out when all this was going. She's like, well, you know what? They said there's going to be a shortage on toilet paper. I better get a big thing of it. She's like, you better get one, too. And I was like, Graham, why do I need more toilet paper? She's like, well, you know, you do have two bathrooms. Yeah, we have two bathrooms and two people. And one of them's not here that often. Well, if you buy more, you have more room to save it and, you know, hold it. So if I need it, you can bring it to me. If you need it, you're going to be using your toilet paper and your paper towels and your tissues to wipe your butt because you ain't getting mine.
Right. I can't do that around my house. I there's two people in my household. I leave. I go. I buy big things of paper towels and toilet paper, and it's just one person. Hell, I come back a week later and all that shit's gone. What the hell?
Yep.
Where all this shit go? Where's all this? I know you ain't going through that much toilet paper. You mean
right?
Schedule your shits. Remember, you only shit every 3 days. Where'd that shit go?
Yep.
You can't blame me.
And it's crazy because, you know, we go through a lot more paper towels than we do anything around here, I think, because of, you know, the truck and the garage and, you know, but, and you never seen a shortage of paper towels. It was just the toilet paper. Well, these people just must not have realized, you know, you can use tissues, Kleenex and that for toilet paper if you need to. So it wasn't like you're going to, you know.
You can use your washcloth and wash it out.
Yep, if it got bad. Yep.
Yeah. Hell, sometimes I'd rather do that because it's cleaner. I hate toilet paper. I really do. I use baby wipes.
Hey.
You know, I don't like toilet paper. Now, I like Charmin. It's real soft. It's okay.
Right.
But I'm out here on the road, and trust me, these truck stops do not have good toilet paper. They got sandpaper. Yeah. Well, I just got a little baggie. I walk around with my damn wet wipes. Now, I don't put them in the toilet. I throw them away, but still, you know. But, yeah, it's crazy. Well, I mean, we did. We run out of everything. Never had Nick took all that damn shit. We ain't stupid. We know. Hell, we'll gather leaves out there. Leave will wipe my ass, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because back when my kids were small, I couldn't afford diapers. I used cloth diapers, and I washed them.
Right.
Same difference. You can wipe your butt with rags and reuse them. It'll save you a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Then again, if you start thinking about the price of the laundry detergent and everything right now, I don't know what the difference in price would be. It might actually be cheaper to buy toilet paper. Well, you know, coming to something like that is like my dad hates paper plates. He's like, why am I going to pay for something I'm just going to eat off and throw away? And it's like, well, you got a point there, but, you know, it's like now.
Well, you buy the fancy plastic plates. You can rewash them.
Yeah. Well, he'd rather just pull one of his regular plates out and use it because, you know, it's easier to wash them. But I told him, I says, one day, it was funny, I told him, I says, Dad, I says, you know, that's fine. You can do that. I says, you're going to wash them. I says, that pack of paper plates, you know, because I like the Dixie only because they're heavier made and, you know, you don't put food on, they fall off the end. I says, I may pay $8 or $10 for that pack of, you know, plates, but you know what? That is actually cheaper than it cost me for the dish soap or
I know the dish soap was almost $7-$8 now.
Yeah, and then the, you know, the dish liquid for the dishwasher and then the water because, you know, I have to pay for my water.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, after a time frame. I said, yeah. I said, but you know what? I said, that pack of plates, because there's, you know, 50 plates in there, that lasts us quite some time. You know, some things I don't use on paper plates. We actually use regular plates, but it's like, you know, no, I'm good. I like my paper plates because it is easy, you know. You just throw them away. All you got to do is wash the stuff you make the stuff in and the silverware, then you're good.
And hell, some of the plastic silverware today is just as good as regular silverware.
Yeah, because you can get that heavy-duty stuff that works very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was just like down at the truck show. You know, we did steaks for all of us and, you know, our little corner right there.
Well,
with all of us.
I hated that I couldn't be there. It just...
You know what, Cheryl?
You know, I had done that people's convoy. I'd made, I made an effort to do all that, and I was going to participate. And, well, I'm going to leave that alone. But, yeah, I didn't participate. I did was at Indianapolis, but I didn't go any further.
Right.
But
you didn't miss anything.
But
down
I just couldn't. I did. She trucking y'all. I see all the pictures. I love y'all. I'll miss all of y'all.
But you know what? The stuff that we used to do in the parking lot, you know, we didn't do that because they forbid us from doing it. But it was, it
well,
just wasn't
I'm
the
sorry.
Same as it used
I, what
to be.
Happened in the parking lot? Tell me some gossip. I ain't heard no gossip in a while. What went on in the parking lot? Who controlled the parking lot? Who had it?
Nobody. Oh, you mean, well, there was Warner and, of course, TA. They were the ones who rented it. But, you know, Toby Young told us at Redneck and I's that if we showed up in the parking lot to do anything in the parking lot, that the, guards or the security guys were supposed to escort us off. So it was, you know, for us it was different. We just hung out in our little trailer and, you know, had heat and we ate. And...
So Tony didn't have no concert out there either? There was nothing?
No,
absolutely nothing?
There was absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Because Warner actually, they had to get a food truck to feed drivers. Okay. They did their little food truck.
For free?
Well, you had to sign up and do all this other stuff, I guess. But Warner, the drivers from Warner that was running it, they were talking to Ed and telling Ed about it. And, you know, the one driver that was in control or that was, you know, watching over everything, I guess they were very upset because they were given a list of vendors to use, you know, food truck vendors, mind you. And that was the only thing that they were allowed to use, and they were only given a few to choose from. And the food, the buns were stale that these sandwiches were on. The stuff was cold, and they were not impressed. So.
See, and I'm sorry. I mean, Max is really, really, really turned into more commercial than anything. There's not but a few truck shows left. Joplin, I think, is still driver-friendly, but they're every other year now. And that's monopolized, too. If you ain't already in the clique, you ain't getting set up out there.
Right. And that's why we decided at Redneck and I that we're doing our own truck show. And it is going to be nothing but trucker friendly. There is not going to be, I mean, granted, yes, the only way you can put on a truck show is if you have the sponsors to do it, to pay, basically, you know, to pay for it. Because we're going to have, you know, we're going to have not really a show and shine type thing, just a working truck show to where, you know, judging. So if you want to be part of that, you can put your truck in that. We're going to have an area that we're going to have antique tractors. We're going to have truck and tractor pulls with an open class for everyday drivers to get on there and pull, because if I didn't do that, Greg would totally have a canary because, you know, he wants to pull his truck. And we're going to have different buildings open because there's multiple buildings that we can choose from that we're going to actually have different booths set up in them, and I'm going to rent the booths out, you know, get it to where we can get vendors in there and not all truck vendors, because not only is this going to be, because it's going to be at a fairgrounds. So with that being said, you're going to have everybody in the area is going to want to come into it. So we're going to have an area that's going to be, you know, for kids, you know, a bounce house, because we're doing this in July. So a lot of drivers have their kids with them over the summer. So we want to have it to where a family can come in there with their kids and have an area where the kids can go and have fun, you know.
Right.
But it's just a lot of things you want to do.
I mean, it's exciting to see the trucks, but they get bored.
Right. Because I'm going to have, I want to talk to the local fire department up there. And, like, the State Highway Patrol was literally right across the gate or right across the street from the gate. So I'm going to have that, have them come in. We're going to have trucks set up in order to have them do a educational thing, have the State Highway Patrol in there to do a thing, and we're going to have vehicles sitting as the different blind spots that drivers have in a truck when a car is beside them. And get people up there and sit in there and ask them, can you see that car at this point? Can you see this car at this point? You know, so these are the different things we want to do because that's, you know, we're about education. We want to teach people how to do things better. So that was one way we could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to have.
That's why I introduced you. I'm sorry. I said that's why I induced you to Sheree Moore because her expo is also. She's trying to come more about educating the drivers.
Right.
You know?
And her and I have definitely talked about it. And, you know, she put it off this year. She said she's going to do it for next year. So I was like, hey, that's
all
right.
That's fine. Yeah.
Like I told her, I said, hey, there's
nothing
wrong with that.
It's probably smart business. No, there's not.
And that's the reason we're not doing ours until 2024, only for the fact, you know, just like when I talked to Hattie about it today, there is no way I don't feel that I can have everything put together and ready to go in time for that, for next year. There, it's just too much to try putting together, and it's like, no. Because I want everything to flow and be perfect.
Oh, okay. So you changed it to another year because I thought you said 2023, didn't you?
That's initially what I said, and then I was like, what am I thinking? There is no way I'm going to have it ready to go by then. So, you know.
Well,
I'll
give you a little hint that I will probably be in an office setting by July. Probably soon, but I'll be more ready available and more access to computers and phones to help like I said I would. I would help.
Great.
So
that's
just
perfect. I mean, we'll definitely keep you in mind for that to help out with stuff. Because, like I've told everybody in the group with us and people that I know, I even have family members and friends around here that you tell us what you need and we'll help you. You know, so we're getting a lot of people because I want to make sure we get the word out that this is what we're planning on doing, you know. And it's not that I'm really worried about people coming in and saying, oh, we're going to do it. We're going to take it out from under you. No, it ain't going to happen. You know, so there's nothing, there's never anything that goes on around this area at this magnitude for trucks. But the location we want to do this at is close enough to, you know, the turnpike and the interstates and the major truck stops and, a major area for trucks, period. So it's nice because we're, you know, the place that we're putting it at, doing it at, is at a fairgrounds. And we can have grandstands for concerts. We can have buildings. And we're going to have, you know, just I have a whole list of stuff I want to do. And like we said before, just like, you know, I'm actually going to do, my plan is on Sunday, you know, it'll close on Saturday, be like Thursday through Saturday. And on Sunday, all the drivers that want to go, it's going to be a pre-registration type thing, you know, to go to the
trucker. Yeah, you said you were going to have a lunching.
Yeah. So it's going to be kind of a pre-register. We know exactly how much food to have. So that's kind of what I want to do. And I think, you know, doing it more based on drivers and for drivers, because just like the vendors and stuff like that that I, you know, thinking of doing is reaching out to anybody in the community that wants to come in for a vendor event. You know, it's not going to be, you know, 20 by 20 or, you know, 400 or 500 square foot area like, you know, Matt's would do, but it's going to be small enough that people can afford it, you know, and it's going to be one of those things, you know, when you come through the gate, when you get there, we were thinking of doing it per vehicle. But then it's like up there, there's a lot of places, people that's in the community that just have a walk-through gate they walk in. You know, so it's more of, we're just going to charge, our plan is to charge everybody $5 a day, you know, for entry. You know, once you pay, you get in, you get a stamp at the same time for that particular day, you know. So $5 is not going to kill anybody to come through, you know, in order to do a lot of the stuff that will be free. there will be some things that would have to be, you know, you'd have to pay for, just like if you want to go to the truck and tractor pulls, because granted, you know, have to pay for them, you know, so it's a lot of work, and I didn't realize just how much work is involved with just trying to get it put together, to think about everything, and then try going through everything else that we need to do. So
I tell you, I've been on many, many organizations that cost $1.5 million to put these, and trying to do it in a year or 9 months, it is hard. It's hard.
Right.
There's a lot of work to it. And, of course, there's always that it ain't going to work out, but it always comes together.
Right, and that's
you
that's
know, everything always comes together at the last minute.
Yeah, and that's kind of the reason why I'm that I decided to, you know, push everything off until, you know, 2024 in order to, you know, I can have everything exactly the way it needs. So the last 6 months, you know, before the show, when everything comes down to the crunch time, when it's, you know, finally getting everything completely set and making sure all the, you know, vendors are paid for and everything else, and we have a little bit of breathing space, but not a lot, because the way I understand when I've talked to other, you know, large corporations about how they do their whole, sponsorships. Everybody does theirs at, you know, for the following year, the end of, like, ones for 2023 are going to be doing it by the end of this year, you know. So I just want to make sure, you know, we get the sponsorship that we need to get everything up and running and going.
Mm-hmm.
So
usually the best time I've found to get major sponsor money is between the months of October and December, because they got to use what excess money they got for the end of the year taxes.
And that's exactly what I've been told, you know, so that's the reason I'm going to be getting all the proposals together this week. You know, I've kind of started, you know, drafting some, and I got a thing on the computer in order to do this. It kind of helps me how to do sponsorship packets and stuff like that, because I want everything to look very professional. And so one thing after another.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? It's wonderful that you're paying it forward. I know you're doing an event, but you're still paying it forward.
Right. And if we can't do what we've always done down there at Matt's, this is why we decided to do something on our own, because everybody kept saying, well, why don't you guys just do your own thing, including Toby Young.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you don't like it, just find your own event or do your own. Well, we're going to do our own.
Okay.
So. You know.
That's what Sheree Moore did. Okay, you don't want me? All right. And she did that, and then what happened? Anyway.
Yeah. So
we
want to be able to, you know, show a lot of these people that didn't think that we could do stuff on our own, that we can actually stand on our own 2 feet and do it. Mostly just, you know, Toby Young at Matt's. Because he has said for many years that we are a thorn in his side, so... We'll see how much a thorn in his side we are when we get done.
See, and I really, truly don't understand that, because they close at 5:00.
Exactly.
You're not taking anything away from the expo or whatever. You're not doing that. You're providing entertainment for the drivers at night. Because, you know, when we go to a truck show, we're spending big money. We're spending money on these auctions. We want to unwind after these things and have a good time. We're not hurting. We're not taking money out of your pocket.
And that's exactly what he didn't understand. And we kept trying to tell him that. And I told him that. I said, we don't do anything during show hours. Everything's done after show hours. And that was the same way.
We might serve breakfast before the show. Coffee, but you know.
Yeah, it was mostly we'd always just do coffee and biscuits or muffins. But you know, that's what he told me before. He's like, well, you know what, we don't see no money for you guys doing that, so they felt like they were getting cheated. Hence the reason we decided to do a booth, because he said before, you know, if you guys do something like that, I wouldn't be so opposed of you guys doing something in the parking lot. We did exactly what he said.
Why didn't they ask for a percentage of your sales? But you're not out there selling nothing. You was giving it all away.
Yeah, it was donation if you wanted to give it. But if you put in 50 cents and got four plates of food,
we're not going to say nothing. But what was good, one thing we didn't know is there was no charities in the parking lot out there, Matt, out there at the Cardinal Stadium.
I know.
None.
And that's terrible.
Yes.
You know, when we have these charities, that's where they get the most participation and the most charities, because that's where we can actually go and have our auctions and our raffles and things to raise money and raise awareness. Well, you know, you took that away from us.
Mm-hmm.
All you want us to do is come into your show and look at all these corporates that are overcharging us for shit we don't need.
Exactly.
And if we do need it, we can't afford it because you're raping us. I would love to have one of those minimizer seats, but God dang, $1,500 for a truck seat?
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy the price of stuff. And it's only going to get worse, that just like it has gotten worse in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it's sad because now, you know, there was a lot of drivers that we talked to down there that said they won't be back to mass because of the way everything was. Because they get there on Wednesday night and they're used to having stuff to do on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and there was absolutely nothing to do.
I know. Sit in your truck like we do every fucking night. Sit in your truck and look at each other.
Yep. And it's sad, but that's, you know, that's what they wanted and that's what they got. But
and they're
going to
get what they're getting. Karma, karma, you know, karma side. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have your corporate sponsorships. Y'all still going to have corporate, and the public's going to come in and see the truck. But what's going to happen when your show truck stops showing up? What happens when your light show goes away? You know, all you're going to do is have the ATA liquors on your parking lot. The other people ain't going to be there.
Right.
Because you don't care about us. You care about the corporate money. It ain't about us drivers. As always, it is not about the driver.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we want to do the truck show, is so we can, you know, it's going to be more driver friendly. And, you know, and we want to be able to, because, you know, our plan is we know we're going to have to keep things open a little bit longer because, you know, of the fact, you know, we're going to have food vendors there. So, and after we're done with everything, if we keep everything open until later in the evening, you know, say like 10 o'clock at night, because open it in the morning, you know, people can stay, you know, vendors and that can stay as long as they want. We're not going to be, you know, you can have to be here from this time, no exceptions. There is going to be a time limit, but we want to have some of the food trucks and food vendors out there longer, you know, only for the fact some of these drivers might not eat during the day and they might come in and we don't want them to be out there hungry, you know. Is what our thing is, because we know how it is in the parking lot down there at Matt's, you know, if nothing going on. Now, if we can get a group to set up in the parking lot, you know, to feed drivers out there, I'm fine with that. But we want to make sure we get them into us, you know, and we're going to have food vendors. But I, you know, my thought is I want to talk to some of the vendors and see, you know, if they can give these guys, if we give them a cut on their setup for the 3 days that they're there, you know, give them a decent price on setting their trailers up or whatever, if they can cut that price for their food down for these drivers, so it makes it a little bit cheaper on them and not, you know, $30 for a hamburger. So.
Or $6 for a 6 ounce paper cup of Coke.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that's kind of what we want to do. And like I said, it's a lot of things that we want. We just have to make sure it's all feasible for all of us and actually, you know, to where us as a nonprofit be able to actually make some money off of the show. Not that we ever believe that we'd ever get rich off of it, because we know that's never going to happen. But we want to be able to, you know, have everything covered and not have to worry and be able to, you know, have a big, you know, luncheon on Sunday for all the drivers and, you know, make it
hey,
so
if you break
you have
even,
being there.
You've been successful. Yeah, you break even, you were successful.
You know, so I want to make
and,
sure.
And, you know, have a kitty for next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I want to make sure we are able to have enough money for the following year and so we can, you know,
right.
keep doing it every year and get bigger every year. But, you know,
right.
when we get closer, we're going to be putting things out on our Facebook page for people to give us ideas of things that they want to see at a truck show. What would make them come to, you know, a truck show? So, because we want to, you know, we want to make sure.
I have some ideas. I mean, you know, we don't have truck stops that have any things like, you know, there's truck drivers out here that might want a tattoo that weekend. Or you might have some ladies that want a makeup. We've got ladies selling, you know, well, you sell Mary Kay.
Yep.
You know, do facial, have a booth for the women to do their nails or have them, somebody, a chiropractor out there. I mean, these should be paid things. They're vendors, but
right.
give us reasonable prices. Hell, you do massage and a chiropractor that weekend. And we talked about having a, what'd you say having after? Oh, the puppy pound, the vet, or
yeah.
where the truck drivers can get their pets, their shots and stuff, because it's easy
yeah.
to do right there. And mm-hmm. they would pay for that stuff, because we have to pay
oh,
for
yeah.
it anyway. It's just hard for us to make plans as drivers. We can't make appointments for ourselves.
Right.
You know? God forbid you try to make a plan. I promise you that plan's going to get squashed. Shipper
yeah.
receiver's going to make sure of that.
Right. Exactly.
So those
yeah,
kind of things would be fun to
right.
have there.
And those are things that I can definitely check into because we do have enough, you know, people. I know enough people in the area that would do stuff like that. Okay, I got a caller coming on, so we're bringing on Greg right now.
All right.
Let's see what he has
All right.
to say. All right, Greg, you're on.
You know, I've been listening to a lot of this stuff. I don't know, but I'm thinking what would really, really be nice to have up there is see if we couldn't get a couple of psychiatrists up there because as crazy as this mess is being, I think one of them could do real good.
Well, that's a fight in itself, and that's a passion that I've got since I've had some medical issues, is maybe we should have the FMCSA medical people out there so we can ask them about why these truck drivers are not allowed to take a nerve pill or whatever, because we stay under a lot of stress. And we're having more and more suicide in the trucking industry. But I point the finger at FMCSA because they're clunking every medical condition in one file. We all have the same thing, and it's just cut dry. No, you know, like, I should be able to take, I have nerve damage in my body, and I have a pill, I can't remember what it is now, but it's technically a psych med that works for nerve damages in your body. Well, I can't take it because it says psych med. So FMCSA needs to come up with the times, because if they would allow these drivers to take their prescription medicine, you know, like they're supposed to, you know, taking a nerve pill ain't going to make you stoned or high. It just, you know, I don't understand that. That's another fight, is updating our medical system for FMCSA.
Right.
So it ain't going to do us no good to have a psychiatrist out there because we can't take the fucking pills.
if my feelings is if it's prescribed by a doctor and it don't, it don't take away the ability to operate that vehicle safely, you know,
right.
then I don't see a problem with it. The FMCSA wants to be medical now. If the FMCSA
mm-hmm. yeah,
would
yeah.
come out there for a question and answer session out there, they would probably be the ones that need medical attention.
Right.
Because
I mean, what's
right
wrong
now,
with
people are fed up
so
with
long. There are a lot of
people
that need that. Zoloft ain't going to make you unsafe in a truck.
Right.
They're making laws that out there. That there's the people that's making the laws and the rules in this game hasn't. They haven't never spent a day in a truck.
Right.
You know, I mean, they just don't know. They don't have a clue. They just like the training out there now. Now, how can you train? And I've said it before. I'll say it again. And all I can say is prove me wrong. How can you take a driver out here in the beginning of spring, training for 6 or 8 weeks, say he can drive a truck, and then put him in a truck and send him down the road and put him in a snowstorm as soon as winter comes and he gets out in adverse weather conditions? He has no idea, him or her, whatever. They have no idea, Cheryl, how to handle a truck on icy roads and adverse weather because they was trained in the summer. You trained in the summer.
Right.
No. You need so many hours, and I believe you need so many hours of adverse weather. I mean, driving through the Rockies, driving across anywhere where there's snow and ice, you know, and adverse
right.
weather. Yo, when you start
they
out
always...
here in the summer... No, I don't get it with me. I don't care. I don't get it.
The only carrier that has a or did have a big school was Snyder. And I went to Snyder National. And I have to give them credit because they had a skid pad. And what they did is they had a driver over in the passenger seat that had a circuit board on his lap. And he would deliberately wreck me. They even could blow a steer tire. They blew a steer tire on me. And I did 2 weeks of skid pad, black ice, how to handle the truck, how not to panic, and things like that. And we need more training schools with skid pads like that. That would help some.
It would help a hell of a lot, but you ain't going to get it
mm-hmm.
because these training
I tell
schools,
you what.
These driving schools, all they're after is money. They don't give a damn who they put out there. It's just an ass in the seat. They don't care. They get their money. They put the trucks out there. Look at Pennsylvania now. I remember going across Pennsylvania back in the late 70s, early 80s, going across there pushing snow with the front bumper of the truck across Snowshoe and Clearfield. Now, as soon as they start predicting snow, that there's a snowstorm coming in. Trucks,
mm-hmm.
you know, commercial vehicles are restricted. You know, no commercial vehicles allowed to operate. And then the speed limit down to 45 mile an hour. What in the hell is going on? Now, how can you move freight across this country when you start restricting the trucks to when they can drive and when they can't because of weather? It's because of lack of
well,
training, because the drivers
right now,
they got out there now can't
to.
Drive in it.
Well, you know, I got to fault them for it because of the training. They're not training these drivers, so it's beneficial
exactly.
and less expensive for that state to shut their interstate down because we have drivers out here that don't know how to drive in inclement weather. And
but
today,
instead of them
I,
fixing the problem, they're hurting everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
30,
you know,
38
for me,
years
I don't go
here,
in
girl.
It.
I've never wrecked a truck.
By the grace of God, I haven't either. But I
right.
promise
I mean,
you,
yeah.
I won't go
I mean,
up in those storms no more. And it ain't because of me, because I learned how to drive on those impact, look like dirt road interstates and back roads of the inner. You know, I took my time. But I won't go up there today, and it ain't because I don't know how to do it. It's because I'm
right.
afraid of the trucks around me. I don't want to get caught up in a freaking pileup because of somebody's
there's
stupidity.
No reason.
No.
Yeah, there's no reason for 50, 60, 80 trucks and cars piled up in a mess like out there in Arlington, up there on 94 in Michigan. There ain't no reason. None. No excuse whatsoever. None.
And you can't blame it for not having a CB anymore because we got Google Maps that tells you there's a backup ahead. Hell,
right.
we even got a cop radar on the thing. It tells me when I'm coming on a speed trap so I can slow down. So you,
yes,
there's
you
no
gotta turn
excuse
your videos.
For
you
these
gotta turn your videos. You got to turn your videos off or your iPad off or watch the TV going down the road before you can see that.
Yeah, you got to quit doing TikTok.
I don't know how many times I go down the road at night and I look over, guy's sitting watching it. Y'all got his tablet up on the dash watching a movie. I'm like, really? Or video? Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't know. All right, I'm gonna let you guys enjoy the show. I'll back what?
It's nice talking to you.
You do, Cheryl. Take care.
All right, darling.
All righty, so we just muted him again. Put him back on hold.
Okay.
But, yeah, it is definitely true, you know. The things that people do nowadays and the way people drive, and like Rob Bynum said on Facebook, he stated, he says it's, you know, trainees training trainees. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get these guys just fresh out of school, and they've been with the company 6 months, and they're like, oh, well, you can be a trainer now. Well, you haven't done enough road time in order to, you know, what we would consider being good for a trainer.
Right.
So.
Hell, I was with CRST. I went to work for them. And, you know, I probably had a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, I can't remember, under
right.
my belt. But I still wasn't qualified to be training another driver. Hell, I was still trying to learn how to back my truck. I'll be honest with you, I started getting really good at maneuvers and backing my truck about 5 years. That's when I started getting more comfortable.
Right.
And, yeah, and that's another thing that needs to change. People don't need to train unless they got a minimum of 5 years. And they need to be a safe, they ain't had no accidents, they don't have logbook violations, shutdowns, because if you got those issues, you ain't qualified to train somebody else.
Right. You need to go back to training yourself.
Right. And well, me, I can't train nobody because I'm going to tell you to do what I tell you, don't do what I do.
Well, that was the reason my dad sent me to driving school. He says, I don't want you to learn any of my bad habits. Okay, fine. I went to driving school, but what happened afterwards, I went to the company that he was driving with, and they told me I had to ride with him for 6 months. It wasn't even 6 months. Anyways, I think it was 6 weeks. But to ride with him in order to learn the ropes because they wanted, you know, first-time driver and everything else. Well, what did I do? I learned all my dad's bad habits. And then another friend of ours that I rode with him,
I don't
too,
call
them
bad habits. I don't
well,
call
them
bad habits.
I will say bad habits because they were bad habits then. Because there wasn't one law,
oh,
there was two. And that was, you know, back in the late, mid-90s, so. But
yeah.
Things have changed since I first started driving, just like things have changed with Greg and with you when you first started. So nothing's like it used to be back in the day. You know, from freight to drivers to trucks to, you know,
now,
fuel
prices. And at this point, you know, I've fought, and you fought, and Brian Brazy. Everybody's fighting a good fight in one form or another. Desiree Woods, Ray Moore. But the women in the industry are understanding that the trucking industry is evolving. And unfortunately, us closed-minded old school that's used to doing it this way, we're either going to have to step up and evolve into being a mentor for the new industry coming out, or hang your keys up, because what we did and what's going on today is different. And
right.
we have to evolve. Because these autonomous trucks and shit, they coming. I'm already seeing them building the lots and putting in electric damn things to plug in the trucks and the cars. That shit's coming. So you either going to learn to profit from it and evolve into it, or just get the hell out of the industry, because I'm sorry, they're pushing you out anyway. So you either join it or get over it. And I know that's sad to say, because I, you know, but I'm too young to retire. I'm only 56 years old. I can't even get my retirement or my Social Security till I'm 70. So I'm at the mindset I'm either going to evolve into this industry or I need to get out of this industry. One of the two. And right now, there's still money to be made. Now, I'm fixing to step into a different sector. I am fixing to make my resume look really good because I'm coming out of a truck I'm fixing to do something else. But I have the mindset and the passion of how can I help these new drivers coming in. How can we take care of them, and how can we evolve into the new generation? Because we're going to have to. I want to make money off of it too, but I also want to be a mentor. I also want to help, just like you recognize. You understand that this is evolving.
Right.
So we
is.
Need to take all of our skills.
That way.
Yeah, right. You know, hell, if I had to go take a written test today, which I do, I got to take a general test to change my license over to Indiana, I'd fail that motherfucker. I know I would. Because what we learned back then ain't nothing what they're teaching them today. I don't.
Exactly.
These young people are teaching me stuff.
Right.
That
well,
I wish I'd have known.
Yeah, you know the thing. Now it is, if you go into any job, and you say you know it all and, you know, there's nothing for you to learn out there, then you know what? You're in the wrong job because with trucking, there's something to learn every day because when you stop learning stuff is the day you actually need to park it for good because every day somebody learns something different or something new, I should say.
Yeah, and we go to different shippers and receivers every day. And I'm sorry, what they taught you in school, throw that shit out the window because you better learn how to back a different way. You better learn how to jackknife because you don't have ratio. We've got warehouses that a 53-foot truck, and God forbid if you got a long nose, you're screwed.
Yep.
You know, so every day is different. You have to learn. I have to test my skill. I just had to test my skills a while ago. Every day is different.
Yep.
You know. And there are some of us old schools out there that think they know it all. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know it all. And I don't proclaim to know it all. I learn something different day. I'm learning so much from Sheree Moore, and I consider Sheree Moore the new generation. She's focusing on the new generation, and I applaud her for that. But I learned so much for those young drivers, and they inspire me today.
Right.
You know? So I learned something all the time. You ain't know it all.
Exactly.
And the day you get cocky is the day you're unsafe.
That is true, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Complacence and cockiness doesn't belong in this industry.
No.
Not today, anyway.
Yeah. Well, Cheryl, it's actually, we're past our two-hour window. But it was
great. Well, I was glad you invited me on to pass the time away.
Hey, every Wednesday, you're welcome. And don't forget, Sunday night, Ed's on with all the guys, too, and you know, he's been doing one every night of the week at 7 o'clock for an hour. So, you know, but we're always on Wednesdays at 7. You know, I'm on, you know, usually I just kind of talk about stuff that's going on in the industry today or anything that I find. Mm-hmm. Or I'll think of something because I want to actually start pulling up and doing, you know, people to get on well to talk about how they, you know, which might be my topic for next week. I'll have to figure it out. But about, you know, how you survive, you know, cooking in the truck and, you know, what type of stuff you use to cook in the truck and that type of thing. So I know that's up your alley because I know at one point you did do all that in the truck.
So. Yeah, I did. And I would too, but my damn freaking APU is got to be serviced. It's limited crank. So, and the only way I can Nobody will do an oil change and change the filter. You have to take it to Thermal King. And shit, they're like a damn dealership. You're pissing in the wind because they're liable to keep your truck 4 days.
Right.
Oh, yeah, bring it in. Well, I don't have time to do that. So,
exactly.
You know,
yep.
And that would be a good thing to talk about, too, is permitted maintenance. You know, if these can wait until mm-hmm. you're at your home time, you know, tell them you got to pull in a couple of days early. Put your truck in the shop while you're off work. That way you're doing time management.
Yeah.
You know, we learn, teach these new people time management on your logbooks. Because I can't afford to be shut down 4 days. But if I'm going to go ahead and take 4 days off, then that's when I need to put the truck in the shop and get all
right.
the bells and whistles fixed. Because
yep.
that's not costing me a load, the APU. It's just costing me money, and it's costing me to get fat because I can't cook. And I'm paying $15
right?
for 3 chicken tenders. Oh,
exactly.
God. Yeah,
you know,
hell,
I go for $15, bucks, that would actually last you 3 or 4 days.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. Hell, I could spend $200 at Walmart every other week or so, and I can buy all my paper towels, and I buy them in bulk that way, too. I got paper towels everywhere, all my paper plates, food. Hell, with me and Jeff and the pit bull, because you know the pit bull's going to eat like y'all.
No,
you know,
yeah.
We survived 3 weeks on $200. Hell, I spent $350 by myself eating 3 chicken tenders and a biscuit. I'm not even getting good food.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got another caller here.
Anyway.
Jeff's been hanging on with us, so we're going to bring him on for a minute. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Cheryl's looking about a Thermal King. I don't know if she makes it out to Amarillo, Texas at all, but that Thermal King dealer there in Amarillo is by far the best APU mechanic in the United States. The way they work there, first come, first served, and it's in the morning, so you get there when they open at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they will get you done in one day and back out the door.
Well, that's great, because all I need is an oil change and a new filter, and I think the belt's getting a little frayed and it needs a new belt. It just needs a PM on it. That's it. It's nothing
the
wrong
little guy,
with it.
The little guy's name is Blim. He's an Oriental guy, and I can tell you, he does, that's all he does is APUs, but it's first come, first serve, and every time I go there at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm back on the road by 10 o'clock.
Well, that's good. We need to advertise them then and promote them because I'm telling you, I can't believe that not just anybody can do a damn oil change or change a filter on this thing.
Right.
Yeah, he's the best.
But it's
the
insurance liability. Yeah.
Well,
that's
Jeff,
all I
send
wanted
me,
to say. I just wanted to pass that on to you.
Well, Jeff, send me
well,
all that information, and
you.
I will send it on to Cheryl also. So if you send me all that about
good.
That Claytown Air, and then we'll pass it on, and we can post it.
Yeah. Talk to you later. Good show tonight, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. You be careful out there. We'll talk soon.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so that gives you kind of a heads up where you can go down there, you know, if you're
yeah,
down there in Texas and get it done.
The only time I go out that far is if I got Jeff on the truck with me and we can actually team. Usually
right.
I just stay around Ohio where the hot lanes are right now because
yeah.
most of the lanes are dead right now, so we're trying to do the short runs, and I'm putting the candle at both ends, girl. I'm doing
well,
the sweet shit 1 minute. You know, because these short runs, I mean, the short runs are paying better than the long runs.
Oh, most definitely. They've always paid better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I tell you what, you work your ass harder. You work harder doing them short runs than you do them long ones, I promise you. Because
oh,
you're
yeah.
doing swing shift, bitch.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. And it gets kind of tricky trying to do an e-log doing them short runs, too. You would think that you wouldn't have a problem running your e-log on those short runs.
Right.
But you do.
Huh. I can only imagine. Because, you know, you can't make them say what you want them to say. So.
No.
All right, Cheryl. Well, I'm going to close it down. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's what I was going to tell you. It was nice being on tonight. I love you. And if y'all don't hear from me, it's probably because I'm doing both candles and swing shifts, and I'm probably sleeping somewhere.
Hey, that's all right. Like I said, you know, every Wednesday at 7 Eastern, we're always on.
Right. Well, I forget what day of the week it is, so I like your reminding us, unfortunately. Well, we like a bunch of kids. You got to remind us.
And I'm going to start posting a little bit more on Facebook about it and stuff like that so we can get more people in. So, because it's not just, you know, the Wednesday night is not just about, you know, drivers or just women drivers. It's about, you know, family members of drivers even, you know, because like last week I talked about how do you balance your home life and your work life. So that is more of the stuff, you know, I just want something so anybody can come on and talk about and,
I wanted to be on that show last week with you because, you know, especially being a woman out here trying to run a household and do your job, it can be tedious.
Right. And, yeah, I totally agree, you know, because it's not just, you know, if you're in the truck, it's even, you know, the other half at home. You know, if you're a guy and your wife's at home taking care of anything, you know. Because now it's the stress of the husband being out on the road, him doing his job, he's stressed doing it. But it's the wife at home being stressed, making sure to take care of everything that goes wrong with the house. Because you can't just go and say, hey, you know what? Hey, we had a whole week and nothing broke at the house, or a month and nothing happened. You know, so.
All right.
Just like our furnace.
Well, hell, when you lost.
Go ahead.
I said, hell, you can have everything shut down for a month, and you would think nothing would break. You come back, you should be broke. You ain't even been there.
Exactly. You know, but it's just little things that happen that you don't, you know, nobody ever plans on the things happening, but something always happens, doesn't matter, you know, with a truck or the house or whatever it is, it, you know, something happens. So, but with that being said, I'm going to close the night down. And Cheryl, it was great you being on and chatting with me on the, all, you know, last couple hours. It was great. Great conversation. We need to do more of these.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, hey.
I know. Hell, I don't talk to nobody.
Oh, I believe it. You know, mostly my stuff is on Facebook chit-chatting back and forth with people or, you know, text messaging. So, but hey, anytime you want to call, you've got my number, so call me.
Oh, I do, darling. All right. I'll probably be stationary pretty soon, so I'll have a little more free time to actually be able to think about having a conversation with somebody instead of what I'm doing and pre-training and weather and driving.
Oh, yeah.
So I look forward to it.
All righty. Well, you keep us apprised on that, and we look forward to talking to you more once you get everything taken care of and settled.
Oh, yeah. I'll be reaching out to y'all because it's a big one.
Okay. Well, we'll hold you to that.
Yeah. All right. Love y'all. Right, y'all have a great night.
Love you too. And you be careful out there. Okay. This brings us to a close. It was a great night talking to Cheryl and also talking with Hattie Jane Rollins at DPF Regeneration. She called in earlier. If you guys missed that, look us up on the replay on our live on Facebook and you can reach in. Listen to her there and also reach out to her at dpfregeneration@webakem.com or you can personally email her at hattie@dpfregeneration.com. Her phone number to reach her is 800-634-3010. That's 3010. So, but it was a great night. We had some great conversations and talked about a lot of different stuff tonight. Now, I do want to remind you guys all tomorrow night,
at 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be on. He'll be in on Friday. And then you can catch him for his two-hour show on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And we will be back here on Wednesday, again, 7 p.m. Eastern, with Women of Redneck and Eyes, talking about anything y'all want to talk about. Because, you know, it's a free form here with us, and we never really try doing anything in writing and holding it to it. But I do want to hear from everybody. Give me some ideas of what we can talk about or chat about next week, and we will follow up with you. So this will bring us to a close of our show tonight. Love having everybody on. You guys all stay safe out there and keep it between the ditches. This is Tiffany with Redneck and Eyes Radio saying good night, stay safe, and we'll talk to you all soon. Later, guys.